At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards, like Rob Reilly, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School Podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This show is brought to you by DraftKings, Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard, live in Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Big show lined up over the next 3 hours. Plenty of solid guests, as always, talking NBA playoffs, talking NHL playoffs, talking NFL draft, little bit of everything. April is an amazing time of year. And Pauly, to kind of recap what took place last night in the NBA and the NHL, you know, it's crazy how things have turned, specifically in the Suns T-Wolves series. If you go back to the final Sunday of the regular season, what is it now, a week and a half ago? Suns went to Minnesota, the one seed was on the line, and they barbecued the Wolves in Minneapolis.
And talked trash.
Oh, the whole time. And they destroyed them the entire game. Wolves were never really even in that. Well, now 2 games deep into this best of seven series, the Wolves are up 2-0, and they have been easily the better side here. And now it's almost like full-time panic mode for the Suns as they go back to Game 3, where they are a 4-point favorite at home. We'll get into the adjustments here and how books have really looked at teams down 0-2 in their series in the first quarter, first half, angle in the second. But this on paper, I'm not going to call it over with, because the Suns can go back and win the next 2 games at home. But the way this has flipped since that final game of the regular season, this looks like a total mismatch when you're watching the games.
Well, it's the number one defense in the league for a reason, and they are suffocating Phoenix, and the job they're doing defensively is A+ and a joy to watch. And I don't think they've really played that well, though. Ant was great in game one, but they haven't, you know, the others have been so good for Minnesota. But you win a game where Ant goes 3 of 12, and you don't get much out of Towns, and he's in foul trouble early. But McDaniels let him with 25. Alexander Walker's been great in both games, and he was awesome in game one. So you want to just say, well, the Suns' season on the line, game three, you have to take them. This Grayson Allen injury is enormous.
Humongous.
It's huge, and how it changed and flipped the game last night, because he's the number one shooter from three in the NBA this year. That's a guy I have to chase around and worry about with Cat. I ran down all the numbers, how Phoenix torched them when they had two bigs on the floor. Finch made the adjustments in game one, but you just see what's going on here with it. You know, you laugh at the big three stuff, and rightfully so. Get out of here with that, especially with the Beal stuff. But what we said going into the season, they have no depth.
None.
And now they have a key injury, and who knows his status moving forward. But it also ties into something we've talked about before the playoffs started. Imagine the changes and what could happen. People are going to lose their jobs, and what you're going to do with the roster turnover if these teams go out in the first round. You know, imagine the loser of this series, number one. But the Suns are thinking championship, new owner, you trade for Durant, you bring in Beal, and then you can't even win a playoff series if that happens? Think about that.
Yeah, what do they do? Do they simply run it back next year and try to do it all over again? when in the Western Conference, I still could not. I mean, they were the sixth seed this year, and they barely squeaked into the playoffs. Easily could have been in the play-in game. You know, Durant's definitely in the twilight here of the career.
Yep.
You can't love the team overall. Like you said, they have no depth, and yet the Wolves are loaded like 1-7, 1-8. That's all they have is depth and guys they can throw out and put on different players. I mean, Alexander Walker, like you said, has been awesome. Nobody ever talks about him, and he's fantastic.
No.
And he gets lost. Naz Reid had, 9 points last night? Naz Reid might win Sixth Man of the Year tonight. And he deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't really, he wasn't even a factor in the game that much. And so it's just 6, 7, 8 guys that can keep coming at you with no Grayson Allen now for the Suns. It's like, who do they have?
Yeah, that's enormous. The other thing is, too, worst team in the league in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
run out again in the fourth quarter.
It looked like they punted on the game last night.
Yeah.
From the effort and just like waving the white flag and this bad boy's over with.
Yeah, and if you're Minnesota, though, I mean, you have them down. You got to step on their neck because you figure Denver's going to take care of the Lakers. I mean, you don't play till Friday night, so there's a good chance you take the floor, and Denver's up 3-0 as well. And I think Minnesota matches up very well against Denver. But that's something also to factor in and consider with Minnesota's mindset, too, coming in. So, but that's Phoenix, Clippers, Bucks. Cavs seem to be okay, but imagine if these teams go out in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucks, you're thinking, you fire your head coach because you lose in the first round of the playoffs. Then you start 30-13 and you fire another coach. So imagine, and you're thinking about championship or bust, you trade for Lillard. You can't even get out of the first round?
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is wild how this will play out just in the next week.
So
what could happen?
Yep, so now here we are, fast forwarding to those games, the game threes that we have coming up. Suns are laying 4 in game 3 against the Wolves. First quarter, they're laying 1.5. Juiced at -122. I think there's one book in the world right now that has that up. First half, they have -1.5 as well. Juiced -138.
Yeah, I'll go first half, but I don't love it. And see what happens with Allen. Also, the adjusted series price seems low. You know, Barkley always talks about this. Well, they just held serve. A series doesn't start till a road team wins a game. But Minnesota's only $4. I mean, look how the first two games have gone. And how well they've done and shut the Suns down, and how well they played defensively. So, but I'm going to have to take the Suns first half. It used to be automatic, and I know Von Tobel tweeted about it. But that also, while it hasn't been so hot the last couple of years, it's also some tough matchups. And there have been some matchups where you want no part of the team down 0-2. Because it doesn't, but this is certainly.
I think this one qualifies as a team I do want a part
of. Right, and I definitely want to take the Sixers in game 3 as well.
Yeah. You can also see a 2.5 out there in the Suns lower juice.
But I want no part of Orlando, though. See, that's another example, too, coming up game 3. So, and the other one, too, because now you have game 3 Friday with the Clippers. Now, Kawhi comes back. That was a surprise. But you're going to move into the new arena next year? If you go out in the first round and plus you're going to pay Kawhi, you're going to pay Paul George, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, this has just been an unmitigated disaster with the Paul George trade and bringing these guys in, and you can't, between the injuries, and you've only had one Western Conference Finals appearance to show for it, and now you think you want to run it back, but it's like, how can I? But I also am pot committed because I'm walking into a new arena, which they need in the worst way, because, again, there's no atmosphere there. It's a tie game late, and there's the crowd's not into it.
I feel like that's the most frustrating part of the whole deal with these players is that just Kawhi's been injured far too much. And the unknown status of him going game to game, year by year, is just, it's so frustrating. Like, either be out for the entire year or play in 75 games. But you don't know on a week-to-week basis or a day-to-day basis is just, you want to pull your hair out. You have no idea. And that's not even, just him, it's others too. So, I don't know. What do you think of the Mavericks laying $1.35 now going back home tied at one apiece?
Now, I'm disappointed in the Clippers offensively so far in the series. But, you know, again, how everything has changed, how they've officiated the game since the All-Star break. Both teams, you can't even get to 100 points now with a lot of these games. But Luka was great. He was also solid defensively. It's a tough series. But, again, this is the West, though. Again, the Lakers were in the play-in game. They were 47-35. They're in the play-in. That's a 7 seed? No, it's not. That's not a 7 with LeBron and AD. So, I mean, these are tough matchups here, and I would have to lean to Dallas now with the home court, but the Clippers have a value. See, I would have sat him. I wouldn't have brought him back. And I know he said I'd have to get used to this and get in the flow and get my rhythm, I would have sat him again and tried to steal. Because
Harden, I don't disagree with that.
Harden played so well in game one and the others played. Now, Zubac, they gave you nothing, which was
I think you kind of expected that, though, right? Because he was not going to play like game one again.
Yeah, Westbrook stunk, too.
That was
and
no
he was good.
Good
in game one.
Yeah, I think that, what he threw up, like a 2-of-9 clunker last night, I believe.
Yeah.
And great job by the Pacers winning last night on the road. No freak.
Well, good call by you. Siakam is just a problem.
Oh, I mean, they have no answer for him right now.
The versatility.
Yeah.
And that's the pace. Remember, that's the second best offense in NBA history. And, you know, it's Boston number one, which we'll get to later. But it's that's the team that could we beat them five times. And when the threes are falling,
going down like that.
Yes.
And the game went over, so there was too big of an adjustment on the total last night. Flew over last night. But when they're knocking down their threes, get the hell out of their way. I mean, they're going to go to a road arena and burn it down right in front of their fans. That's how good they were last night against the Bucks.
A lot of confidence.
Yeah. I'm watching the show Reacher on Amazon Prime. They call him the main actor, the big guy. He's like 6'5". He's built like the Incredible Hulk. He's gigantic. What does this series look like when the Bucks bring the big guy back? When's that going to happen?
Well, remember, he had 64 against them.
It demanded the game ball.
I know. That was... This is the timeline, though. It's supposed to be a 2-week injury. Now we're at 2 weeks.
That's exactly right.
I don't know. Maybe they don't. If they win game three, maybe they say, well, we'll bring you back until we need you. If they lose game three and then you look in another road game in Indiana, I love Halliburton calling out the fans saying, it wasn't even loud here. We'll blow you away. Wait till you see what. Don't get caught with your pants down. That's a 2:30 Pacific tip time Friday because of the draft.
What do you make of that?
As well, I love it. That's awesome. But that's I don't know how they're. I don't know. It's an unknown. Who knows with Freak? How bad this? Remember, he was hurt coming in, and then he had the big injury against Boston. So that's a tough one. Pain tolerance and everything. And then if it happens again, then he's done for the year.
We can carry this over into the second segment as well. But how about the news yesterday after our show was done? That Thatcher Demko was going to be out in goal for the Canucks, missing the game and beyond.
Killer. Oh, yeah, everyone rips the NBA. The NHL has nothing on the NBA. This Nylander story is ridiculous.
Oh, boy.
The guy is a good player. He plays every game, and now he doesn't play in the playoffs? I asked Dennis Bernstein. I asked Jonathan Davis. No one has any information.
No, the people...
Nothing. And everyone's fine with it. It's like for years, the Vegas Golden Knights. What's the guy's status? Questionable.
Lower
body injury. Yeah. Give me a break with this. The Demko at least was a new injury, but it's just a guy. Maybe he got hurt during the splits and that great save he had in game one. But that is just... And then you give up the soft goal to start the game when you're Vancouver.
Yeah, good morning to those of you watching in the awesome city of Toronto on Sportsnet. People are panicking, and they've reached out to us saying, "What guys are playing with broken bones this time of year all the time.
That's right.
And there's no story to this, and he's just missing games.
It's
we'll continue
outrageous.
Next year on VSiN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School podcast hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get up to the website. You got Lombardi's article. He thinks six quarterbacks go in the first round tomorrow. Matt Heumann's mock, best bets, betting splits. Don't forget all the playoff action. Great articles, betting tools, betting guides. Check it out. Everything you need, VSiN.com.
It doesn't get any better than this. I could hit a three-team parlay tonight that pays 50-1. I'd rather talk to our next guest, Sal Palantonio. The great Sal Palantonio joins the program now from ESPN on the Progressive Guest Line to talk NFL Draft. It's been a long time, my friend. How you been?
Yeah, I've been good. I had breakfast this morning, you know, to get ready for the draft because I'm headed up to the Giants to be embedded for 3 days. My wife made me an egg white omelet with a couple of pieces of toast. You know, you gotta eat healthy. You gotta eat healthy. And we were talking about our trip to Las Vegas, and I said, "Honey, we did a lot of things, me and you, for a couple 3 days, but the highlight of my trip to Las Vegas was being in the studio with Mitch and Pauly on Visa." Getting picked up by the black SUV limo at ODOT 30, getting delivered to the casino. It was fantastic.
It was a highlight of our week as well. It was a highlight of our football season, talking to you on a weekly basis. So you're going to be with the Giants. Now, this is juicy, picking at number 6 overall. Break this down for us here. A lot is in play. How interested are they in either taking a quarterback at 6 or even moving up a little bit higher than that to get the kid that they want?
Well, they are definitely in conversations with the Patriots and with the Cardinals to move up to get a quarterback. The Patriots want a king's ransom. And so far, they haven't been bowled over by anybody to move out of 3. But they are still definitely in play. You know, if I'm the Patriots, if I'm Elliott Wolf, if I'm Gerard Mayo, I just basically hold everybody's feet to the fire and say, I'm happy to sit there at 3 and take Drake May. Because I think, without a doubt, Williams goes 1. I think the Washington Commanders, you know, they've done a lot of dopey stuff with the last owner for a long, long time. But it would be really, really stupid with a capital STOOOOPID if they did not take Jaden Daniels.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. So they got to take Jaden Daniels at 2. And then at 3, the whole world wants Drake May. No question about him. At number 3. I think the Giants are first in line because the Pats don't want to move that far down.
Mm.
Going to 6 is easy for them. If the Giants can flip flop with the Patriots, that would be the dream scenario for the New York Football Giants. You know, this is my 30th NFL draft, being the lead field reporter at ESPN during the draft, 30th. And I've been with the Giants when they picked Eli Manning and when they picked Daniel Jones. And they've been in pursuit of a quarterback for months. They had J.J. McCarthy in. They had Drake Daniel in. They kicked the tires of Russell Wilson. They went out. Their entire entourage went out to Washington to meet with Michael Penix Jr., because it's not about who's the quarterback in 2024. It's who's the starting quarterback in 2025. They don't owe Daniel Jones any guaranteed money in 25. And by the way, It's the 100th anniversary of the New York Giants franchise. One of the Tiffany original franchises of the NFL celebrates its centennial in 2025. You need to make a big splash. Who's going to be the face of the franchise at quarterback in the 100th year of the New York Giants? It's not going to be Drew Locke.
Absolutely. The writing's on the wall. This is it for Danny Dimes. No doubt about it. What if the Giants then can't get a deal done with New England and they trade with Arizona? What happens to Harrison? How far could he fall then if that happens? And then could Minnesota maybe still get McCarthy at 11, or could they make a trade with Atlanta at 8? How do you see all that playing out?
All right, let's say if you want, I'll do you my mock draft that I just filled out this morning after I got up, after based on all my conversations with the insiders.
Beautiful.
I got Williams 1, Jaden Daniels 2. I think the Patriots are going to stick. They're going to stay. They don't want to overplay their hand. I think they're going to stay and take Drake May. That's going to be the mantra at Gillette Stadium. Let's stay and take Drake May. At 4, then, it becomes in play for the Arizona Cardinals. Why? Because they know the Giants are desperate for a quarterback. They know the Vikings are desperate for a quarterback. They know the Broncos are absolutely desperate for a quarterback. They know that the Raiders are absolutely desperate for a quarterback. So their pick is going to be open for business, but they don't want to drop so far down that they miss one of the top wide receivers. So I think they might be open for business to flip-flop with the Giants there, and then the Giants take J.J. McCarthy at number four.
Oh, boy.
I think that could happen. But don't discount the Vikings. The Vikings can't line up and play. They gave up on Kirk Cousins and said it's time to move on, the guy who's been the face of their franchise now for 3-4 years. They got Sam Darnold. No one believes in Sam Darnold as the answer. So to me, you got to watch the Vikings jumping to the head of the class at either 4 or 5 to get ahead of the Giants and take J.J. McCarthy.
So would you bet on the first 4 picks of the draft going all quarterback?
Yes.
You would. That's going to happen in your opinion.
In my opinion, that's going to happen.
And then so the Chargers do what at number 5? Are they staying put? Are they taking offensive linemen?
Well, the Chargers, you know, so now it becomes, okay, the Chargers are not going to do business with the Broncos or the Raiders. Now the Chargers are stuck. You know, what do they do there, right? What do they do? If they're stuck at 5, the quarterbacks are gone, nobody wants to jump up, and the Chargers don't want to do business with the Broncos or the Raiders, then I think they take an offensive lineman. I think they take Joe Alt.
I agree with that.
So then the Giants do what at number 6? Yep. Is it going to be a Dunze? No, actually, would it be could Harrison fall into their lap?
No, I think then at 6 the Cardinals would be there.
Okay,
Are going to move to 4.
Well,
the Giants. Likelihood of the Giants moving to 4, then the Cardinals would take Marvin Harrison Jr.
What if it's the Vikings, though, that go to 4, and the Giants are still at 6?
And that's let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Vikings go to 4. Cardinals are now all the way down at 11. Giants take Marvin Harrison Jr. at 6.
Okay.
Titans take Joe Alt at 7. Falcons, I think the Falcons are then open for business with either the Broncos or the Raiders. And the Bears are open for business with the Broncos or the Raiders. The Broncos and the Raiders are now thinking, okay, who's going to get a quarterback, Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr., or do I wait and sit? Because right now they're at 12 and 13. So they're playing footsie with one another. And the Raiders could go up and say, hey, I don't know why the Broncos keep putting out the word to everybody that they've done all kinds of work on Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm.
What if the Raiders are interested in Bo Nix? Are the Broncos trying to get the Raiders to move up to take Bo Nix? I don't know. That's an interesting thing. There's a lot of really good, interesting behind-the-scenes stuff going on. The Jets at 10, I know everybody says Brock Bowers. I know Brock Bowers would be great as a tight end. But the Jets have really two old offensive linemen, and they've had a real bad problems with offensive linemen over the years. And if anybody wants any kind of a refresher course on what happened to Aaron Rodgers, he was bum-rushed by Leonard Floyd, blew out his Achilles 4 snaps into the season. To me, you got to take an offensive lineman. Joe Douglas has always done that at 10. Fashanu of Penn State, to me, would be the right pick.
Wow, there's a lot there. A ton there. Great info. So and we have like a minute left. We'll bring you back for another segment, Sal. You're absolutely convinced, the way it sounds, that we're getting at least 5, maybe 6 quarterbacks in the first round.
I agree with Mike Lombardi.
Okay.
I totally agree with Mike Lombardi, my buddy from Ocean City, New Jersey. I totally agree. Listen, remember this important number. Last year, there were 66 different starting quarterbacks in the NFL. The year before, there were 68. That's 134 permutations at the most important position in the most important sport in America. Teams are desperate for quarterbacks.
Yeah. Well said. Hang tight. We'll bring you back, talk more draft. Are the Eagles going to trade up? If so, who do they have their eyes on? The great Sal Palantonio. We continue with him from ESPN talking NFL draft next here on VSiN.
We are ready to go and have you covered tomorrow starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. Tim Murray, JVT, and the Golics go through all the prospects and predictions and props. Then a special edition of the GM Shuffle, 8 p.m. Eastern. Femi, Michael Lombardi, real-time analysis of the picks. Michael will give you his thoughts on every pick and trade as they happen. Special edition of the GM Shuffle on VSiN, DraftKings Network, or on VSiN's YouTube page. Cap off the night, 11 p.m. Eastern, with VSiN Tonight. And check it out. You got to read Matt Heumann's mock as well, especially before you make bets. VSiN.com/draft.
Femi Abebefe joins the program now, VSiN host. Also does the GM Shuffle podcast that you can get wherever you listen to your podcast with Michael Lombardi. Heavy draft, obviously. You guys are going to record that podcast after the show. First of all, good to see you. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing really well. Yeah. And in today's VSiN newsletter, Bill 80 wrote that Lombardi is saying, a lot of names thrown around here, I apologize. But the newsletter points out that Lombardi said 6 quarterbacks going in the first round. I don't know if I can see that happening.
Sal loves it.
Yeah, I know Sal loves it. Others do too. Are we going to get 6?
I don't think we're going to get it. Initially, I felt good about 5, and I don't even know if I feel good about that anymore. I think we're going to get 4 for sure in there. But we were talking about it before we came on here, is that fifth-year option is not as appealing as it was back in 2011, 2012. It's a little bit more expensive now. So I think teams would have to be really, really in love with a guy to take them. You're not going to see the trade back into the first round to go ahead and draft Lamar Jackson at 32nd overall. I don't think you're going to really see that. So unless these teams are in love with Bo Nix or Michael Penix, I don't really see it. And I think a lot of the things that we're finding out, too, is that sometimes with this tying Bo Nix to the Broncos or Penix to another team, they could love them for the second round. It doesn't have to be the first round that they take them. Now, maybe if they think that other teams are going to go ahead and jump ahead of them, but my guess is I think we see 4 tomorrow night.
And I do think where those two teams are sitting, assuming the Vikings address their quarterback position, either at number 11 or they trade up. So then we're talking about the Broncos at 12, Raiders at 13. Man, that's so high for Nix. Yeah. For me, Nix, no chance. I love Penix, but also I get the age and I get the injury concerns.
Yeah, I mean, I read the Adam Schefter mailbag piece that he had all the draft intel. He said that he could go as high as 8 to the Falcons, is what one general manager told him. And I know the Falcons probably want to have a plan for after Kirk Cousins, but they signed him to do a big deal this offseason. That just seems pretty crazy to me that Penix would go that high. And I'm speaking of as a Washington Husky fan. Like, I love Michael Penix. Watching the last couple of years, he was terrific in Seattle. But I just don't see it with the age and the injury history that you mentioned there. Like, yes, he's really good, and he might have a really good career, but I don't think the risk is worth the reward for taking him that high.
Yeah, that's not getting enough attention. All the talk about the Arizona and the Chargers. Atlanta's open for business, too, at 8.
Yeah.
So that's something where maybe Minnesota just comes up and they can go to 8 and get them, getting a quarterback, what they decide to do.
What's interesting with Minnesota is that which quarterback do they desire? Because that's what I can't figure out, because they made that trade to get the 23rd overall pick. So now they have two first round picks. And it's like, okay, well, number one's going to be Caleb Williams, but they don't really know who's going to be there at 2, at 3. Do they move up to 4? Do they really want to move up all those pieces for the fourth quarterback in the draft? Even though that they really want a quarterback, because they're not going to go into the season with just Sam Darnold in their quarterback room. My guess is that they try to get up to 3, but we were talking about it earlier. If New England likes the guy there at 3, do they just take the quarterback? And then Minnesota's kind of shut out, and then they have to kind of figure out what they're going to do with those two first-round picks. So they have all that ammo, but there might not be someone that they desire once the board actually shakes out.
Well, a question for you, and also all your time working with Lombardi, and then I guess I don't want you to speak for him, but listening to the podcast, what he thinks, because it's Lions season, going back to, we use the Thibodeau example. Lions tell him, we're taking you. They don't. What the Raiders did with Matt Leinart, he was pissed. If you're there, we'll take you. They don't. And now I have a good source that McCarthy's dad is very confident that he's going to be a Viking too, and the Vikings want him in the worst way. But that, I mean, how much you saw what happened a couple years ago with the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
They used prominent media members about this. Oh, we're taking offensive line right away. And they didn't. And they flat out used it as a lie and used the media like that.
Yeah. We see the New York Giants ever since they got Joe Shane, they've been using the media quite a bit, kind of doing all that smokescreen stuff. I mean, the Vikings, they had J.J. McCarthy for a dinner. They had the visit going on. So there's clearly some interest there. But I don't know how much you can read into, hey, we're going to take you for sure, like you mentioned. It just seems like there's just so much that can happen in this draft. And I mean, we don't even, like, we're talking about all these guys and all these scenarios. We don't know what's happening at 2. Like, you think about that. Like, look at the draft markets right now. Daniels is minus 475. And, like, instinctively, you would think, okay, that must be Daniels to 2. But usually, it's minus 4,000 if it's going to be a for sure thing. Like, if Daniels doesn't go 2, what then happens there? Does New England like Daniels? Do the Vikings move up for Daniels? Like we don't know what's going to happen just based on the Commanders aren't really saying anything. So the draft really is a big mystery, as we always say.
Remember what happened last year on draft day, like an hour or so before the event started. That's when number 2 was still unknown.
Yep.
I was holding tickets on everybody not named C.J. Stroud.
Oh, yeah.
So I had big tickets on guys like Will Anderson and some others.
The Reddit thing, you're going? Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, here we are on draft day, C.J. Stroud is minus 1,000, minus 2. I couldn't refresh it fast enough because his odds just, and that told you he was going number 2 overall.
Well, I thought you were going with the Reddit thing.
I wasn't even talking, but that's another part.
Could that happen again? Hey, some guy just put it out there. I talked to a family member, and he said he's going.
Whatever.
It's ridiculous. Which is the thing with last year with Houston is that the information was right. We just didn't know what the order of the operation was because everybody thought Anderson.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, they really love Anderson. Well, they did. They moved up to 3 to get him, but they also like C.J. Stroud a lot going in at number 2. So I don't know. It's interesting. I talked about this with Lombardi in our last podcast on the GM Shuffle. He talked about how I think the league is cracking down on information getting out there, which is one of the reasons why I've been treading cautiously with betting the draft this year. Like a few years ago, I was all in it, waist deep, betting, firing as much as I could. But now it's the information is just so sparse and it's flimsy at best. You don't really know what's going on to where, I mean, if you're out there and you haven't made any wagers, like wager like carefully and maybe wait for more concrete stuff to come out here. Because I think there's a domino effect at 2 that if something doesn't go as expected, the whole thing can spiral out of control.
Pemi, I think you're spot on. Nobody knows anything. I mean, when you're sitting here, again, 30 hours before the draft, and J.J. McCarthy could go anywhere from 2 to 6, he could go 8th, he could go 11th. It's just like, come on, enough already. But that's what the reporting has been like.
He could go in the 20s. Are we sure that J.J. McCarthy isn't this year's Will Levis? To where, I mean, we all sat here last year, like Levis could go, oh, he's going to go to the Colts at 4. That's the floor for him.
Yes.
And he goes the first pick of the second day.
Yeah.
Like we don't know, because you talk to everybody who evaluates quarterbacks, they say, well, yeah, I mean, McCarthy, he has some things, but I don't really love him. So if nobody really loves him, why is he going so high? Is the thing, and it's the same thing with Levis last year. Like with Lombardi, I talked to him about it with Levis last year. He said, I think Levis is like a backup quarterback. I don't know why, but teams might like him. Who knows? Maybe he goes high. And then the league kind of shared his opinion of, yeah, this guy is not a first round caliber quarterback. So I'm not to say that McCarthy is going to be bad or he's going to go the second round, but it's just so much uncertainty just based on he's being projected high, but nobody really sees him as that kind of a guy.
So I'm guessing then you have not bet his draft position prop of 5.5.
No, I have not. If I did bet it, I honestly would lean toward the over at the plus money.
You would. Man, Sal Palantonio came on an hour ago and he He thinks there are so many, but this is, we hear this every year, right? The same thing. The Levis is a great example. So many teams are in a desperate spot for a quarterback, and he brought up the Giants. The Giants absolutely want to go into next year with the face of their franchise, being the quarterback they know who's going to be the future. And if Meg would happen to go third overall, then he thinks they're going to trade up to number four and take McCarthy there.
Whew. I feel like if they can't get May at third, then I think they're just going to go ahead and take a receiver. I think so. Like, I get that they've done the work, but I don't know if it's going to be McCarthy moving up to number four to draft that guy. Because, like, why would you even need to move up to four? I mean, unless you need to move up ahead of the Minnesota Vikings if you're scared that they might move up. If you play it out, like, if it goes 1-2-3 of Williams, Daniels, and May at four, then we're sitting with the Arizona Cardinals, who I'm sure they want to get out of that spot. I mean, Monty Austin Ford is trying to, like, he's not going to do any deals until they're actually on the clock, but they would like to acquire more picks. But if they end up sticking and picking like a Harrison or a Neighbors at five, the Chargers, I mean, and you have McCarthy right there, they're not going to draft him. At least I don't think they are, even though Harbaugh speaks highly of him. If they move out, then at five, anybody could, like, it could be an offensive tackle. It could be anyone. I don't know if McCarthy really has as many landing spots in the top five as people think. So I'd just be a little bit skeptical that he goes that high.
Well, I'm confident Daniels goes too, but I don't think it's.
Have you bet it?
Yes. I also think that all hell breaks loose though if New England takes Harrison at three. Then it's chaos.
Yeah.
Then you're going to see a ton of trades, and then it's really on.
Yeah, because I think May would be someone that the league would covet just because of the size and all that stuff. And, like, he was projected to go pretty high before the college football season even started, and he seems to be more of the prototypical, like, athletic quarterback that teams like now. So I could see teams like the Vikings definitely trying to move up for Drake May. I'm just skeptical of this McCarthy thing. Like, I think, like, we all are not, like, in love with him. So I think that the logic will eventually win out to where maybe he goes top 10, but I don't see it in the top five.
There's a scenario here where the Cardinals can move out of four and still get Harrison around six. Like, that could happen. Mm-hmm. If in fact the Patriots take May, and then at number four, somebody is so desperate for McCarthy, they trade up. Chargers could stand pat, take offensive line.
Yep.
And then Harrison could be sitting there at number six.
Is Harrison even the first receiver selected?
I got Neighbors.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
So what if that happens and the Cardinals say, screw everybody, we're taking Neighbors, and at seven, Harrison's still on the board?
Tennessee Titans want an offensive lineman. I don't know if they take him.
Yeah, right? We'll continue here with Femi Abebefe, VSiN host, talking NFL draft. We some very creative props on Caleb Williams for the draft tomorrow night. We'll run those down for you coming up here on VSiN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School Podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lombardi, along with Sal Pell, thinks six quarterbacks go in the first round. Check everything out at VSiN.com. Matt Heumann's mock, best bets, betting splits, betting tools and betting guides, everything you want, and all the playoff games and previews. Check it out, VSiN.com today.
We continue talking NFL Draft. VSiN host Femi Abebefe in studio. He's recording a new edition of the GM Shuffle podcast with Michael Lombardi. When this show is done, where does Brock Bowers go? The juice on his prop here at Circa has really changed. I bet a bad number over 11.5 at like minus 150. That's now completely flipped. He's plus 105 to go over 11.5.
Outrageous.
Man. I don't see the Jets drafting him. I'll just say that. Like, I don't think it's going to – because I think initially that was sort of the groupthink consensus. So it's, Bowers at 10 to the Jets since they've shored up the offensive line in free agency. Let's get Aaron Rodgers another target. But I still think that they need to address that offensive line, just given the fact that some older players like a Tyron Smith, who you can't really count on him to be healthy. And maybe it's one of these teams that trades down that selects a Brock Bowers, whether if it's an Arizona Cardinals or if it's a Los Angeles Chargers. But
Colts, 15.
I mean, Colts at 15, that could be a really good option for them.
Yeah, this is crazy.
To me, it feels like he's in the teens.
If I'm the Jets, the pick's in, I take him. But look how things have changed. You go back to when he was at Georgia, all the talk was, he's unbelievable. Top three pick. Maybe you got to take this guy. He's going to be a game changer. And now maybe he goes 15 tomorrow? I think people are losing it. I think he's going to be a great pro.
It's the position. And I think maybe people could be scared of the whole Kyle Pitts thing. Now, they're different players. Bowers is a different player than Kyle Pitts was. But, I mean, Pitts went fourth overall, and we're still waiting for him to catch touchdowns. I mean, maybe
that could
have been the quarterback situation.
But there's
so much that you need to have a tight end to have success. Do you really want to take it that high when this position relies on so many other guys?
Well, yeah, I'll protect the quarterback. I also have to scheme stuff with Hackett, which is a problem. But I'm gonna have Bowers, Williams, Wilson, Hall, and Rodgers. I think I'm going to take my chances and be able to figure it out.
I'll give you another one here that bettors think they know the outcome already, as if the first round has already been completed. The juice now on the wide receivers in the first round, it keeps moving towards the under. It's sitting at minus 450, under 6.5.
Whew, man.
The more and more trusted mocks come out, I mean, we could get 5, according to what people have been mocking lately.
Wow. I mean, with the amount of offensive line love in this draft, because like if you talk to anybody, they'll say that this is one of the best O-line drafts they've seen in recent memory. I could see teams going ahead and drafting these O-line, especially some of those teams picking a little bit later on. Hey, let's shore up the offensive line. Every team in the league probably needs offensive line help. It's like the most important position group, and it's a position group that has a lot of injuries. So I could see these O-linemen going pretty high, and that maybe pushes down some of these receivers. Also, the perception is that there's so many good receivers that maybe you can get one on Friday. Yeah. You can maybe get one in the fourth round or so. Well, why rush and get it on Thursday if you can get it later on?
Why don't I trade for Ayuk tomorrow?
You could also do that.
Would you do that?
I don't know if I would do that, just given the fact that there's so many good receivers and like there's guys every single year that come out that are awesome. But it could elevate a team. And we saw the Eagles do that a couple years ago with A.J. Brown. They traded for him on draft day, and it all of a sudden elevated them to go into the Super Bowl. It helped out Jalen Hurts and his progression. So if you're there a team that thinks that they're close and, hey, if we just add another receiver, we can go ahead and do this thing, maybe it's a team like the Chargers if they want to trade a future first-round pick or something a little bit later, a day two pick. But I think the Niners probably want a first-rounder if they're going to part ways with him. But if Ayuk isn't traded tomorrow or on Friday, I think he's still a 49er.
On top of this year being another loaded class of wide receivers, and I know that this narrative is out there now and it makes a lot of sense, it's going to be every year beyond this because kids coming up have wanted to play wide receiver for many years now.
100%.
And they've also gotten away from playing running back, I think realizing that the money's not going to be there. I wonder if eventually that flips on wide receivers.
Because it's going to be the same thing as the running back position turned into.
I've thought that for like 4 or 5 years now. I was like, when does it actually flip to where the economics at the wide receiver position is like, hey, like, why do I need to pay a guy $30 million? I mean, Justin Jefferson is amazing,
yep.
But why do I need to pay him $30, $32 million a year if I can go ahead, not to say you're going to find another Justin Jefferson 4 years later, but you can at least find a good player and pay them at the $8 million range on the rookie contract.
That's exactly
right.
Do they
just recycle through guys? Because like you mentioned, the 7-on-7 camps and all these things, the passing game is so sophisticated now that these guys step right in and they immediately produce and play at a high level.
A couple of faraway places have Caleb Williams props, Caleb Williams props, including primary color of his nail polish. Black was the favorite at plus 150 when they released these numbers, followed by orange at 2-1, white 5-1. There's a pink in there, a blue, and a green.
Is there no nail polish?
No, that's not an option.
Not an option.
No. What's the blue number?
Blue is 7-1.
Now, if it's navy blue, like Chicago Bear blue,
right?
I could see that.
He's going to wear some sort of Bears colors.
Has to be.
I wonder if it's going to be a combo of the three.
Like a blue-orange type?
It could be.
Orange makes sense at 2-1.
Yeah.
But blue, I feel like if it's like a navy blue, I think at 7-1, I think that's a solid price.
Will He Cry is 7-1. I think people are going to point to the loss against Washington and say he's a crier. Yeah. Going to happen all the time. Who is he going to hug first? His mom, shortest shot, plus 125. Dad, plus 150. Girlfriend is 6-1. Agent, 10-1.
Who's most likely to be sitting next to him?
Yeah, what's the setup there?
Yeah. Like, is it parents? Is he in between the parents or is the girlfriend to his left?
I always lean mom.
That's what I would lean.
Right?
Is the dog listed?
No. Actually, how many dogs will be showing during the broadcast? Over under is 2.
Can he take his dog? I mean, is he allowed to
sit on his lap? Why not?
Yeah.
Your best friend.
I've never seen a dog in the green room.
We're going to start to see service animals, right? At the draft. And will we see a parakeet at the draft coming up?
Yeah, sure.
Here, I brought my gerbil to the draft.
Right.
So a GM said he's a weird guy. It's the equivalent of Prince playing quarterback. Let's go to Lake Minnetonka. Here's some pancakes. Now, what do you think?
That was the quote?
That was the quote. Yeah, it's like Prince playing quarterback, he said.
I mean, that's a great Chappelle Show skit. But I think it's a Gen Z quarterback. And I think this is the new norm. To us, maybe it's, hey, he moves a little bit different and whatever. But, like, you know, if he's good, he's good. Who cares?
Yeah.
But I think this is just general manager going to have to get used to. This is kind of the new norm. And he's the first sort of, like, Gen Z guy. So he's not going to be what the past guys were like.
All right, so you've dialed back your bets this year just because of the info. How many do you have right now? Handful still or
no, couple? I can count it on one hand.
Can you?
I can count it on one hand, yeah.
Okay.
I just don't, like, the information is not good enough, at least this year compared to years past, for me to really want to dive into this thing. I want to kind of protect myself, so I wouldn't mind laying a minus 500, 600 if I can find out that Jaden Daniels is going too.
Oh, I would absolutely lay that number.
That price
for sure.
It's minus 475 at DraftKings right now. Like, if I could figure that out, I'll lay it till kingdom come.
Well,
I just haven't figured it out yet.
I had that discussion with two people who I trust. They go, trust me, it's Daniels at 2. But they wouldn't give me the source or at least
how do you know it was. Yeah.
But I said, okay. But
source,
still.
Just trust me, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Never wrong.
If he gave me something strong there, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to give me the name.
Exactly.
If he gave me like the ballpark, does he work with the org? He wouldn't give it up. So,
well,
but still, I bet it. But I would have.
I hope you cashed your ticket.
Yeah, I would at least tell if he gave me a name or gave me something good here. But, you know.
What price did you
get? But I understand $1.50, $3. I kept laying the three. I cut it off at $3.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Femi, you also love to bet awards.
Yes.
Did you have Tyrese Maxey most improved in the NBA last night?
I had Maxey and some parlays. So
we're
good to go. Like, that was a good result for me yesterday. Six man tonight. That's a sweaty one.
Who do you need?
Naz Reid.
Same here.
Yeah.
Beginning of the year. It looked like the people who tracked this online, the voters who made their ballots publicly known, it was like a runaway with Naz Reid right away.
Mm-hmm.
It has since flipped.
Yes.
Malik Monk kind of caught him early on here anyway, but we find out tonight. I honestly, if I had to make a bet on it right now, I would have to pass on this. I have no idea who's going to win this award tonight.
Maybe I'm just a pessimist, but I have a bad feeling in my stomach.
Why?
Do you really?
I think Monk might win.
No, the injury helped you.
So my theory with the NBA, it's different than the NFL, to where I think recency bias does not apply to NBA awards outside of maybe MVP. I think voters more often than not make up their minds a little bit after the All-Star break, especially with these awards that are sort of the secondary awards, like the ones that are announced this week, the most improved, the sixth man's, the clutch players. I think they more often than not make up their minds, and then they'll just justify it any which way they want to by the time the season ends. MVP, maybe you could get some recency bias. I mean, we saw it last year with the whole Jokic Embiid thing, but more often than not, I think these voters make up their minds, and I could see Monk he's a likable guy, and he was a volume scorer off the bench.
Do you have Daigneault coach of the year?
I do not. I'm going to lose on that one.
Yeah, I do.
It's
not
unfortunate.
I have Mosley. That's not going to be a winner.
Yeah.
Defensive player of the year. Did you ever get in on Wemby?
No, I did not. I bet some Gobert light at like 4-1 early in the season, so it'll be a small winner on that one. I think Gobert's going to win it running away, honestly.
I think that's the way it looks too.
Yeah.
For him. Anything else? MVP?
MVP, I have a little bit of Jokic. I'll lose on that because I was loaded up on Embiid early in the season when he was going off, and then the injury obviously disqualified him from winning.
All right. GM Podcast is going to drop a little bit later on today. I thought Michael's rant on the Falcons it was absolutely
stuff.
Fantastic. When,
it's good stuff.
I mean, it was so good talking about really.
Bragging about this?
Yeah. You didn't want Belichick, fine. Yeah. But to talk about it openly now and make it known that he wasn't in your top three.
Three straight 7-win seasons.
Yep.
Hang the banner.
Yeah.
Thanks, Femi. It was great stuff.
Awesome. Good to be with you guys.
Appreciate it. There you go. Femi Abebe. New GM Shuffle coming up later on today as well with Michael Lombardi. Stay tuned. A numbers game is next. You can listen to VSiN.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards. Like Rob Riley, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School Podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.